Speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
In 2 Timothy 2, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. That there is a great need for rightly dividing and rightly understanding and handling aright the word of God. We need much teaching in our day on the proper division of God's word. There are many that are following false doctrines because of false principles of interpretation. Sometimes people have the idea that, well, since the Bible does not say, thou shalt not do this or that, or use this or that, that silence is equal to a command to use it. But this is no acceptable principle of interpretation. It is not recognized by any standard authority. It is not even reasonable. According to that principle, the druggist may, in filling a prescription, add any and all medicines to that which the doctor prescribed, providing the doctor did not specifically forbid using this medicine and that medicine and that medicine and that. Again, if a mother sends her child to the store for maybe 2 or 3 items, she would have to mention every item in the store and say, now thou shalt not also buy this and that. The child would have authority to buy any other item desired, adding to the list authorized by the mother. Or suppose a couple wishing to get married were to go to the postmaster and ask him to perform the ceremony. May he do so simply on the ground that there is no statement in postal regulations forbidding postmasters perform marriage ceremonies? Of course, there is none. He must have authority to do such a thing. And just the fact that it is not prohibited does not authorize something in the matter of religion. There is no passage in the New Testament forbidding one to burn incense in Christian worship, as they did in the Old Testament times. But what those who use incense need in authority is something in the New Testament for that practice. Also, there is no statement in the New Testament specifically saying, thou shalt not baptize babies. Yet such baptism is not authorized in the New Testament, for one to be baptized is to be a believer, one old enough to understand that he is a sinner in need of forgiveness of his sins, standing in need of experiencing the new birth, and then understanding that, making his decision, and submitting himself to be baptized. What we're saying then is that all law is both inclusive and exclusive. The command to do a thing includes the doing of that specific thing only and does not permit the addition of other items in the same category. God is always forbidden adding unto what he commands. There are warnings in the early part of the Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2, Deuteronomy 12, verse 32, also in about the middle of the Bible, Proverbs 30, verse 6. Then in the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22, 18 and 19. Now all of these references give a warning about adding to or taking from the Word of God. Yet some have taken the position that one may add in practice, but not in teaching. One must not add words into the text of the Bible, nor when reading the Bible. But one may in his practice add to what is authorized in the Bible. Well, according to this idea, the pharmacist must not write words adding other medicines to the doctor's prescription. He must not add to that written document, and he must quote it accurately when talking about it. But he would have the liberty to add any and all medicines that he would like to in filling the prescription. Well, according to this false rule of interpretation, one might add everything imaginable to his religion and to his worship and practice, but to have simply to leave the doctrine unchanged. When God commanded Noah to build the ark of gopher wood, Genesis 6:14, he could not add pine wood when building the ark any more than he could add to the blueprint for the building of the ark. The reason it is wrong to change the law in its wording by additions is the fact that it's sinful to change it in its practice. The reason a contractor will not allow any changes in the blueprint is the fact that there must be no changes in the actual construction of the building. It's because all things must be according to the blueprint in practice. Well, the law to build an ark of gopher wood was exclusive, that is, it excluded added pine or any other kind of wood. The command to build it three stories high excluded building it four stories or five stories. Just so, friends, the command to baptize believers excludes unbelieving infants. Mark 16, verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Acts 8, 12, and they believed the preaching of Philip concerning the things about the kingdom. And there are many other scriptures that could be considered. Well, likewise, the command to sing and worship excludes another kind of music. It excludes playing. Ephesians 5:19, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Or Colossians 3:16, teaching and admonishing one another through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, sing with grace in your hearts. So song books, shaped notes, are not additions to the law of the Lord. They are simply expedients. They expedite or facilitate the doing of the very thing that's commanded without adding anything to it. The songbook is simply an aid. It aids worshipers in doing the very thing God said for them to do, which is to sing. But an organ, or a banjo, or a dulcimer, or a piano, or a keyboard adds those things which the Lord has not authorized. That is, to play, to produce instrumental music, to do something that's not commanded. And such music is an addition to God's law for us. Thus, it's not permitted. There's a vast difference between aids and additions. Noah could use tools, he could use wagons or sleds, together with all other items which would aid him in building the ark of gopher wood, according to the blueprint that was specified by God. But to use pine wood would have been an addition. The aids and incidentals may vary and change, yet the law must not be changed by man. As we look at rightly dividing or handling aright the Word of God, God has the right to change His own law. There are three great dispensations or laws or periods of time in the Bible. The first was the patriarchal, which was from Adam until Moses received the Ten Commandments. That patriarchal age largely covered in the book of Genesis. This was a family religion, and the father or the head of the house was the officiating priest to offer sacrifice for himself and for his family. This age continued about 2,500 years. The next period of Bible history was the Jewish age, from Moses receiving the law at Mount Sinai until the coming and the death of Christ, a period of about 1,500 years. This age began with the giving of the law at Mount Sinai, covered most of the Old Testament from Exodus chapter 20. It was not a family system of religion, but a national system with Jerusalem as the place for worship. This age ended at the cross, and the last, the Christian age, went into force under the Great Commission after the cross on Pentecost of Acts 2, has already lasted 2,000 years and will continue until the very end of the world. We live under this last age. We're not living under either the former dispensation. Paul said in Romans 6, verse 14, you are not under the law, but under grace. And John says in John 1, verse 17, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And in Hebrews 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. The Son now has all power and authority in heaven and on earth, Matthew 28:18, and we must now hear Him. When Peter wanted to put Jesus down on a level with Moses and Elijah at the transfiguration of Christ, God spoke from heaven saying, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, hear ye Him, Matthew 17, verse 5. Though the Old Testament is inspired, is historically accurate, is a part of the Word of God, we're not under it in a system of religion. Christ died to deliver us and deliver men from the law. Colossians 2, verse 14, the inspired Paul wrote that Christ was blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. So it's been blotted out, taken out of the way, it's been fulfilled, so he could become the mediator of the New Testament. And the New Testament is not an afterthought with God, for God foretold by the prophets that he would make this new covenant. He spoke very plainly about it in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31 through verse 34. And the New Testament writer, Peter, speaking on the day of Pentecost, said, "This is that which was spoken. Christ broke down the middle wall of partition between Jew and Gentile. He did that by abolishing the old law of commandments, and we now have a new law with new commandments. Some of the commandments of the New Testament were once bound on the people in the Old Testament, but we keep them now because they are in the New Testament, not because they were once in the Old Testament. And if the Old Testament law were still binding, Jews and Gentiles would have to be separated as they were back under the law." The Bible warns in the book of Galatians and also in Ephesians about Judaizers. There are many Judaizers today. Some of them would have us burn incense. They would have us use instrumental, mechanical instruments of music in our worship because it was used in Old Testament days. Others would have us practice circumcision, wear priestly robes. Some would have us go back there for plurality of wives. Others for Saturday worship or Sabbath keeping. But we're not under the Old Covenant, friends. It is true about the Old Testament. It's inspired of God. Every principle found back there which we practice as Christians is practiced now because it's a principle in the New Testament. God has changed His law, and we are not under that old law today. Paul said in Hebrews 7, verse 12, "The priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law." So we're not under the law of Moses, we are under the law of Christ. I read further in Galatians chapter 3, verse 23 beginning, "But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster." And since we're no longer under a schoolmaster, and that law was a schoolmaster, the apostle asked, "Wherefore then serveth the law?" Galatians 3:19. Friends, it's as plain as day that we're not under the old law. Paul said in chapter 5 of Galatians, verse 1, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." This is the context in which the apostle says, if we go back to the law for circumcision, for any kind of worship or any service, we're debtors to do all the law, all that was required back then. We can't take some of it and leave the rest. So it's very important that we rightly understand, handle right, the word of truth. I bid you a very pleasant good afternoon.